Giving thanks should be on the minds of pretty much everybody in here today. Now, not necessarily giving thanks, I presume, but more along the lines of thanksgiving. As we set our hearts and minds on our community Thanksgiving feast that'll happen in just a few hours, or our traditional Thursday Thanksgiving feast, certainly our minds are wrapped around this holiday and this feasting called Thanksgiving. But that's not quite the same thing as giving thanks, is it? Sitting down for a fellowship feast versus giving thanks. Yes, we think about thanks and giving thanks, but sometimes we can get so focused on the holiday we forget the idea behind it. And so I want to just share a little bit about the idea behind it. Well, the idea of giving thanks and having Thanksgiving meals, feasts, goes on for a long time. Some would say the first Thanksgiving in America was the Pilgrims and the Indians sitting down in Plymouth. Abraham Lincoln, however, was the first to have an official national proclamation about a day of Thanksgiving. The year was 1863. Not a good year in the United States of America. 2 years into a civil war that saw brother fighting brother, families torn apart, a nation divided, where every casualty was a citizen of this country. But in the midst of all of that, Abraham Lincoln proclaimed the following. He said, "I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of these United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. And I recommend to them that while offering up the ascriptions justly due him for such singular deliverances and blessings, they do also with humble penitence for our national perseverance and disobedience, commend to his tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged, and fervently implore the interposition of his almighty hand to heal the wounds of the nation and restore it as soon as it may be consistent with his divine purposes to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union." It is remarkable to me that in the middle of our Civil War, Abraham Lincoln understood that we were one nation under God, and that God was the one who was in charge no matter when men were doing things of kindness or unspeakably horrible things to each other. God was and is to come no matter what man chooses to do to mankind. And Abraham Lincoln recognized that, and instead said, "The best thing we can do right now is honor God and give him thanks for what he has done and pray that we would be in his divine will to get towards more peaceful, harmonious times." That's the way that God is. God has always wanted us to know who he is and what he has done for us, because we could spend every minute of every day for the next year and still not get to all that God has done for us. God made this universe for us. He made this planet for us. He made this church for us so that we could come and worship. And he never wants us to forget all that he has done. And in fact, if you want to go through the Bible, I would suggest to you that maybe the first day of Thanksgiving that God ordained was one he ordained in Egypt to the Israelites when the Passover was coming. In fact, in Exodus 12:17, he charged Moses with this. He said, "Celebrate the festival of unleavened bread, because it was on this very day that I brought your divisions out of Egypt. Celebrate this day as a lasting ordinance for the generations to come." Every year, generation after generation, they were charged with remembering what God had done for them in freeing them from the oppressive hand of Egypt these promised people, leading them to the promised land. God giving them the most basic reason to give thanks in a feast so they would remember that year in and year out, generations to come. But the thing about Lincoln writing his proclamation is, whereas God was telling the Israelites to celebrate this day that freedom has come to you, Lincoln deigned to write this proclamation in the middle of the war, a war that was uncertain how the outcome would be, a war where the modern development of photography was bringing the horrors of this destruction and devastation into the homes of people who didn't understand how heinous the battlefield was. This was a time of deep, abiding darkness that would go on for nearly two more years. And yet Lincoln said, it is right and good to give thanks. Which brings us to Paul's letter to the church in Thessalonia. Thessaloniki, if you are looking at a map today. Paul has gone there and planted a church, but he didn't go there because he was celebrating. He went there because he was persecuted. He was driven out of other places in modern-day Greece. He had been thrown in prison. He had been beaten and persecuted. And out of that persecution, he went to Thessalonica. And in Thessalonica, as is his custom, he went to the synagogue to preach, to declare to them what the Old Testament promised would happen. And as happens place after place after place as he goes, his welcome wears out and he gets kicked out of there. But he still forms a church because some people heard. Some who were blind could see. And he plants this church in the midst of persecution, having been persecuted to get there, because there's a promise from God. And that promise is accepted by a core group of people. They believe, and when Paul is writing this letter to them, he is writing because he has heard back that they have remained faithful in times of challenge, in times of difficulty. In the midst of persecution, they have been faithful as disciples of Jesus Christ. And so Paul writes this letter. And in closing, he writes these beautiful words, rejoice always. You who have embraced the life of a Christian, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Knowing of hardship, knowing of the challenges, knowing of the difficulties of following Christ, he exhorts them to hold firm to these promises. But it's important that we understand that Paul doesn't say to them, give thanks for all things. He says, give thanks in all things. And this is a huge difference, and it's one that we need to understand. How do you bury a three-year-old son and give thanks for that? How do you, upon being diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, rejoice and say, thanks, God, for cancer? How do you, when you find yourself enslaved, imprisoned wrongly, do you say, thank you, God, I'm just so hopeful that you would put me in just this place? We are not called to give thanks for everything. Because, folks, sometimes we're asked to walk through some things that are really horrible. And we don't need to be thankful for that. But, and here's what allows us to do this. If we can simply trust God and believe the words that he has promised, if we can, if you will allow me to use a theological term, set aside the finitude of human reason, that which, when we acknowledge that our brains cannot conceive the glory and the riches that God have for us, understanding that we can't comprehend that a day is like 1,000 years in the sight of the Lord. We can't get our minds around it, but that doesn't mean it's not real. that we will go on forever, even though a day can seem interminably long for us. Our minds stained with sin, constrained by the fact that we haven't experienced everything, so we can't fathom all possible outcomes. But we worship a God who does, a God who is without bounds, and a God who has said, "Trust me on this." If we can accept God's word, what we find is a promise that is so much greater than any material blessing that we can experience here. Because God says, this is all going to go away. This is like a flower that withers. This is like a wisp of wind. But my love endures forever. That promise, that to live is Christ, but to die is gain, to be in the presence of the Lord forever. All of a sudden, we start understanding these parables about the pearl of great price, where we are willing to sell everything that we have to buy that pearl, or the field where the treasure is hid that we find, and we will let go of everything that we have so that we can secure that immeasurable treasure. Or even when Jesus says, take all that you have, sell it, and give it to the poor, and then come and follow me. When we finally understand that anything that we have in this world is worth giving up if it means we secure eternity in heaven. That one prize, secured by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that we can declare, puts everything in this world to shame. Everything in this world left worth letting go of. If you have that promise and you hold firm to that, then no matter what life hits you with, you can give thanks. Thank you, God, for sending your son to die for me. Thank you for pouring out your grace and mercy on me. Thank you for the shed blood of your son, Jesus, who washes away the sins in my life so that I can stand before you as if I never sinned. I want to wrap this up quickly because I promised I wouldn't go long. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And faith doesn't mean agreeing and accepting only that which you understand. Faith means agreeing and accepting even those things that seem ridiculous to you, but because they were promised by the God who created all that is, must be true. And that is what we have been asked to do. To take that faith that would allow you to stand on the floor of the Colosseum as the lions are coming up and saying, God, I really don't want to be here, but if this is what it takes to get me to be in your presence, then I give thanks and I rejoice. So most people this week, when it comes to giving thanks, will give thanks for the things that they have. They will give thanks for the people around the table. They will give thanks for the fact that there is food on the table to eat. The material comforts that they are experiencing, and it's not wrong to give thanks for those things. It's all well and it's all right and it's all good because God is the giver of all things. And so if God has blessed you with those things, my friends, give thanks loud and strong and rejoice in them. But never forget that in the times of blessing and in the times of persecution, it's Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross that allows us all to give thanks in all things. Because if we hold firm to that sacrifice, there is nothing that will ever separate us from the love of God. And that will forever be worthy of our thanksgiving. Amen?
Amen.
Pray with